Welcome to another edition of Tech Plus. This is the long weekend, the Easter edition of the show. It's Jan with you and also Kane. And for the next 60 minutes, we are talking tech, recapping this week's biggest tech stories. Kane, how's it going?
It's going well. How about you? How's your week?
Good man, ons donder maar voort.
Yeah, a long weekend. Can't ask for more. Eh? Nothing better.
Exactly, exactly. And tech-wise, has it been an interesting week? What would you say?
This stuff never slows down. Eh? I think you could throw like 6 long weekends at it and it'll just keep like, you know, you'll hear about some new big update and it never slows down, never surrenders, you know?
Okay, well, that's good to know. And I'm sure there's some more AI in the mix as well. But I mean, listen, just before we get going, I just have to talk about that ship that slammed into that bridge overseas in America.
Word.
Did you? I watched so many videos of it now, you know, like different angles. I get obsessed with these things and I go down a rabbit hole and like I stay up all night watching it. And then there's this guy, Jeff, he's an engineer and he analyzes it, you know, he's like, this is why it collapsed that way. And, you know, but that's quite a big thing, eh? And I mean, apparently the ship's electricity infrastructure or something malfunctioned just minutes before. Seconds before it crashed into the bridge.
It was strange, hey? I mean, you definitely see something malfunctioning and happening.
The lights go off just before it crashes.
Like moments before disaster, I mean, you can watch the video sped up, which is pretty interesting because it literally takes like a right turn into the bridge.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like it was on purpose.
It seemed like it was in a safe area and then it like just quickly turned into the bridge.
It was a very quick turn, eh?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't think that's I don't know. It's like there's definitely enough conspiracies that we needn't say anything for there enough speculation to be already running around.
Yeah.
But it was a bit like, yeah. I mean, it's bridges and hard to miss. So
I mean, there was a lot of space for that boat.
They did
to go
say
through.
Their steering went out and their engines went out and then their backup generator turned on, but they weren't able to steer. But it's just.
Well, why did it veer to the left side? Why did it go to the right side?
So that's apparently, lucky enough, when the disaster started happening, they were able to actually send a warning signal to the to the bridge controllers.
I heard the audio that's been released.
And they were able to actually get a lot of people off the bridge, but there were a few people that stayed behind, and there were some construction workers.
Shame, yeah, that was hectic, eh? Imagine driving over that bridge. I don't know if you saw, but on the video, there was a car who crossed just like a split second before it crashed. Like, he just reached the other side. And then the bridge came down.
Wow.
And he's like, dude, do you even know how lucky you are?
I don't even know what you do in that situation. You probably don't even know what's happening when...
He was driving with the bridge collapsing behind him.
Because boat crashed into the bridge and then the bridge just dropped into the water.
And it looked like it was like a wonky bridge, eh? It looks like it was so easy to collapse. It doesn't look like a solid structure. It looked like a little house of cards falling into the water.
I think, you know, a house of cards, you can actually put something on and it's pretty sturdy. But the minute there's a structural vulnerability, it's like completely... useless.
Yeah, it just hit it at the wrong spot and it goes down.
And it was pretty much the rightest wrong spot you could ever hit. You know, critical damage.
That was hectic, eh? I've never seen anything like it, eh? But what an interesting story that is.
Well, in a flip, in some good news, apparently eToll's official date of death has been announced. The official turn-off date for eToll. That was a horrible
design. But, you
know,
people still get bills, you know, and ask to pay it. And they said, no, I'm not paying those
bills. That's what I want to know.
Will that be written off now?
Yeah, what happens to everybody who paid bills? Do they still have to pay? Is it like the long road to recovery? It's
you're
30
not getting
rand a month for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Like, what is going to happen there? I'm just glad it's gone because, I mean, what a hardcore thing that was. Eh?
That
really
was
didn't help
just
us.
Destined to fail from day one.
And that's not the only thing destined to fail. Apparently, Telkom has announced some pretty large price hikes on their fiber and mobile plans.
Woo.
Yeah, they say, given the current inflation rate of 5.8%, tariff adjustments are necessary to ensure sustainable service excellence. So let's take a look at what that entails. So fiber to home prices will increase by an average of 10%, DSL prices by 15%, and business voice prices by 12.5%. Out-of-bundle rates are increasing by 11.25%, while out-of-bundle data and SMS rates will increase by 11.42%. Mercifully, Telkom said there would be no increases to ad hoc or recurring prepaid bundles.
Oh,
I love how they're like, mercifully, they decided to spare us.
Yeah, they wanted to just end with a positive note. I mean, but listen, did you even know that electricity is also going up from Monday the 1st of April? And that's no joke, eh?
And
it's going to 12%. 12% hike in electricity. So I was thinking, you know, would that mean if we, let's say you recharge on the first, like I do, prepaid electricity, would you now get fewer units or?
Yeah.
So will you actually see the difference?
I don't know if it'll be in effect by then. But yeah. Most certainly when it's in effect, you'll just get less units. And I've noticed units getting less. Like, it's just, you can't even keep, when we talk about the electricity price hikes, that's when we're aware of it. But can you imagine the everyday person? How are you to know how much more you're paying for electricity today than you were 6 months ago? But I can give you a hint. It's more. It's quite a lot more.
Definitely. I actually can go back. I always keep like records of it. And you go back and you're like, wow, look at all this I got for 800 Rand 2 years ago. Look at what I'm getting now. Eh? And that's so scary because salaries and income, it does not necessarily go up along with this, you know. Yes. So then you got to start cutting.
And it's always, you always got to wonder, like, how are they going to cut the prices? I always like looking at, like, supermarkets and things because they'll actually, instead of reducing the price, they'll reduce the volume.
Yeah.
You know, so your 330 ml Coke, all of a sudden it's a 300 ml Coke.
Oh, wait, it's called shrinkflation, I think. Yeah,
there's even a tiny Coke now. It's like 180 mils.
Just one sip.
You can pour out four teaspoons for you and your friends and then you could go to town. It's the tiniest tomato juice ever.
Oh my word, no.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's, I think you call that shrinkflation. But I mean, I've noticed it many times. And you know, the brands don't talk about it. But sometimes you get something and you're like, wasn't this bigger? Hey, you look at it and you're like, nah, it can't be. Or can it be? Have you noticed that before? And then you sort of question your own sanity. And you say, I swear this can was bigger.
Like I went to, I don't know where I went the other day, but I went to a restaurant and they brought out a bottle of juice, like a juice.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like quite a big glass of juice. And they bring it to you in a nice small cup. So you get about four refills out of it or three refills. But one day I went there and they brought me a normal cup. And it like literally finished. It just was like, I was like, where's the rest of mine? And you in see, my mind, I had received less.
Yeah,
but technically it's the same amount. But in my mind, because I'm refilling the glass, I'm like, yeah, there's, you know, there's. I would think that I would get more quenched. My thirst would be more quenched from the three glasses than the one. But
it's a psychological thing as well. It is, and they know it.
And then you have the really rude players in the game, like Cocoa Pops, who doesn't make the volume smaller or make the price more expensive. What they actually do is they make the price more expensive and change the recipe completely.
Yep.
Now it tastes, this is the Cocoa Pops for me is like the worst tasting thing. It used to be my ultimate favorite cereal.
So they changed it so much, eh? I haven't even had Cocoa Pops in years.
And you know what really,
I loved it as well.
Grinds my gears. I used to love Cocoa Pops. Just the texture, the taste, everything with the milk was just perfect. And then they came out with this, let's make a massive critical change to the recipe, but tell no one. And
you can taste it.
And I went and tasted one. I'm like, this is wrong. Something's wrong with this. And I went around and looked, and you would notice that they actually had emphasized that there's now more nutrients, there's more minerals, there's more vitamins. So I said, well, how much minerals, nutrients, and vitamins was in the first one? Not good, bro. Sugar and cardboard, bro. Nothing else.
Just sugar and cardboard, yeah.
Arguably just sugar. I mean,
And now it doesn't taste as good because they added some good stuff to it, but it's not the Cocoa Pops you know.
It's not even actually good stuff because they're just putting artificial value in the food.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's like we've taken cardboard and we found a really good way to fill it with iron and calcium and vitamin B and A, and actually all those nutrients are just like a lab powder that just exists in a powder form that's just additively introduced to the recipe.
So no more Cocoa Pops for you then?
No Cocoa Pops. And they even used to have a Pro Nutro version of Cocoa Pops.
I remember.
The most unhealthy porridge known to man. But it was so good.
That was, eh?
That went off the shelf quick. I don't know where it went, but it disappeared. It used to be in a flimsy bag. You know, not like a box. Like a
right.
And it used to be green. And it used to say Cocoa Porridge or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I've
disappeared.
I've looked for many years. I will pay top dollar to find that again.
It's always the good stuff that just disappears off the shelf, eh?
And I remember one of my cousins, they were older than me at the time, because I was like 12 when I was eating that cereal. They were probably like 20, and they looked up and down the cereal, and they were like, this is going to kill you. This is not good. And I never really grasped the concept. I was like, dude, it's just delicious.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're here.
We don't worry about that when we're that age.
No. Eh? Now you go to Spa. If you went to Spa recently and you went to look at the cereal section, you can now get the imported cereals.
Oh, really?
So for 210 Rand, you can have an, what is it? An Oreo OT cereal, which is one that I've seen.
So that sounds very American.
Then they have a Fruity Loops. 230 Rand Fruity Loops from the UK.
I love Fruity Loops.
And then a 38 Rand Fruity Loops from South Africa. Right next
What's
to
the
each
difference?
Other. Like, what is the difference?
What's the difference?
What is the difference? And then they have other things like Frosties. Frosties are like... you
is
get
that
your,
American, eh?
It's like cornflakes, but they come with the sugar that you would put on them.
Okay.
They're like got icing sugar on it almost.
Okay, well, that's not a good way to start the day with that, all that sugar.
It really can't be. You know, when you wake up in the day, your body... how you have to have energy to rise. So what is your, how's your body going to make sure that you have energy to rise in the morning? It's going to release glucose, it's going to release energy, and that energy is what gets you going in your day. What keeps you feeling tired and worn down is the sleep that's still in your system that actually has to pass
that's
by
right.
That's why if you drink coffee off more than an hour after you wake up, you feel like the impact of its benefits more, because when you're like asleep, you're not really functioning that well. You get the sugar in the morning. So it's crazy for me that when you wake up, which is to push a lot of sugar into your blood, and then you're up and you're on, then you go eat sugar cereal and you go put more sugar in your blood. It
and then you
really
crash.
Seem logical. You're gonna crash.
You're gonna crash before 100%. Lunchtime. And what do you want then? More sugar.
And there's Kane in class, maths, out sleeping.
That
no one understood why.
Same here.
You know.
Yeah.
No one
understood
why.
You just. Yeah. We didn't know back then, man.
My parents used to tell me you're not allowed to sleep in class, and I just argued it wasn't a question of allowed to. It just happened. It
I remember.
A war would be waged between myself and each island for 20 minutes to fend off possible sleep, and it would eventually end in utter loss of consciousness.
I try to sleep in most classes, but not history, because I was so scared of the history teacher. That
really?
That man was lethal. He had this stick on with him.
Oh,
the
really?
Stick, and he would just go on your desk.
On your,
and I just didn't like that, so I just tried to stay awake in history.
That was
class.
Enough for me.
That's why I did quite well in history, I think.
Note to self, if you want Eon to comply, just random bouts of aggression.
Yeah.
We'll sort him out. Talking about things that one shouldn't do. Facebook, I couldn't believe this when I read this. Facebook was caught spying on Snapchat, YouTube, and Amazon. So listen to this. Recently unsealed court documents, this wouldn't have been known if the court didn't unseal it, have revealed how Meta platform used a man-in-the-middle attack to spy on Snapchat's encrypted analytic web traffic. So Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg told three of Meta's top executives that given how quickly Snapchat was growing, this was a while ago, it was important to find reliable analytics about them in an email titled Snapchat Analytics. Javier Olivan, now Facebook's COO, replied that he fully agreed with the need for these analytics, and he looked into this with his Envano team, a web analytics company which was originally owned by Meta. However, gaining insight into Snapchat's encrypted analytics would require legal approval. So they forwarded this email on to some of the team members, and they basically said that they're going to have to find a way to get around this legal framework. They need to be able to see these things. So by mid-June, the Envano team had devised a plan for the Ghostbusters project. That's what it was called. And if you notice, Snapchat's logo has a little ghost in
yes,
it.
Yes,
so
yeah.
That was their code name for this project. This is Meta, by the way. So the team's solution was to employ a man-in-the-middle attack using their Envano VPN service to intercept the information before Snapchat could encrypt it using the TLS, or now known as the SSL. So what does that mean? That means Facebook, using their VPN service, literally looked at Snapchat's data before Snapchat was able to receive it and encrypt it. And by doing that, they were able to spy on all of Snapchat's web traffic, well, at least a large portion of Snapchat's web traffic. And more than that, they didn't just use that strategy for Snapchat. They also used it for YouTube and Amazon. And I just think that's crazy, because it's literally bypassing an encryption method that a company has put in place to protect user data. And Facebook, a company with its own users and its own importance in protecting user data, ends up creating a man-in-the-middle attack against other companies similar to it to enforcefully reduce the security of their user data by allowing them to peer into the analytical data that is supposed to be securely encrypted. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. And the plot actually thickens more, because when I was looking, when I was looking around, I actually found this. Listen to this. This is crazy. Okay. So, where is this now? I just have to find it. So, okay, we'll come back to it for now. We'll come back to it. Do you know MKBHD?
No.
So MKBHD is a YouTuber. And as a YouTuber, he's a tech reviewer. And he's probably one of the most popular tech reviewers probably on the planet. He started a YouTube channel many, many years ago. And that YouTube channel alone has amassed millions and millions of followers. And when you're renowned as someone who's always reviewing the top end of tech, and here comes along a video that he made about a car company, he actually managed to really do some damage to them. So let's talk about it. So MKBHD reviewed a company car, a car by the name of Fisker. And we actually spoke about it on one of our tech shows. So Fisker was actually a car that is similar to like Tesla. It's an electric vehicle trying to come out into the market, trying to come with new technology and new code, and trying to just make a big impression, trying to get market share. So what actually happened was MKBHD ended up making a video about them. And right before he was about to make the video, he asked them, hey, can I get one of your guys' cars to review, right? And in trying to get one of their cars to review, they actually ended up saying to him, no, look, we're not willing to give you a car. So he actually ended up connecting with another guy, and they were able to get a car. So the company, when they found out that he had managed to get a car, hit him up. They called him up and said, hey, listen, MKBHD, we understand that you want to do a review, but we'd appreciate it if you'd give us an additional couple of weeks so that we can implement a software update.
Mm.
And this software update is meant to fix a lot of the issues. And MKBHD, being a tech YouTuber for this long, said it's against his policy to wait for a company to release something that the public already has access to. Like, you and I can go buy this car today. Therefore, it should be reviewed as this car is today. Fair enough. Do another review when your update's out. Long story short, he decides to go ahead and do a review of the car. He ended up reviewing this car, and what he termed it was is the worst car he's ever reviewed, ever. He had things to say about, I mean, they were there. The car has solar panels on the roof, but at no time can you tell how much power those solar panels are providing to the car, what it's doing. So there were like some fatal flaws that this car company had really implemented into their car. And he dealt them such a blow from this virality that happened that one of their software engineers ended up reaching out to the guys that had loaned MKBHD the car. And he had gone on to explain that there's actually a software update incoming. But what he also said, which I don't think he knew that he was being recorded when he said this, but what he also said was that same software update that was supposed to make changes isn't the bee's knees in terms of software updates. It doesn't fix a lot of the problems. It just patches some of the problems. And when that all went viral, Fisker's stock went belly up. It went belly up. They're actually in the process of getting delisted from the stock exchange.
Oh my goodness.
Because they can't keep their stock price above a dollar.
Whoopsie.
So Fisker turns to extreme markdowns to stave off this bankruptcy. The struggling EV company slashed the price of the Ocean, that's one of its models, by nearly 40%. And it looks for a miracle to avoid getting out of business. Fisker is in the process of being delisted from the New York Stock Exchange, and it paused production of its latest vehicle to focus on fundraising. Fisker always promised it would be a mass market EV company, but doubts that it will be able to make that happen. And this obviously following MKBHD's review. He's now gone on to review the VinFast VF8. And apparently it also didn't go well. So this man's just kind of going through new car companies and crashing them. And I just, you know, this is one person's opinion on one piece of tech. The guys that, you know, MKBHD reviews sometimes don't even know who he is. Like, they don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
My argument is if you are a big company and you don't know about a guy who could literally end your company, you haven't done your homework properly.
Why give him a car?
Well, they didn't give him a car. He went and got the car from someone else. Bottom line is, don't release bad tech, because if guys get on it and review it, a review can be the end of your business.
Yeah.
One person highlighting you could be making a vital decision between a 180,000 rand car and a 170,000 rand car, but one review alone can make you just never ever go for the latter. It'll just make you completely despondent to ever reconsidering it. One review.
These influencers can ruin you.
Or make you.
And but they also know that they can do this, you know, and that's why they throw their weight around. You know, they'll go like, I've got 1.5 million followers on TikTok, you know.
But these reviewers also fall as hard as they rise because they can also make mistakes.
Absolutely.
Terrible mistakes.
They can get, as they say, cancelled. Cancel culture. Hey, we got to go for some music before we get cancelled.
Let's go.
Welcome back to Tech Plus, and it's Jan and Kane with you talking about this week's biggest tech stories. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Have you ever wondered which city in South Africa has the most expensive electricity?
Absolutely.
I was kind of under the assumption, I always thought the price is the same throughout South Africa, but I very quickly
learned. Can I take a guess?
That the price changes a lot.
Is it Cape Town?
Do you think Cape Town has the cheapest or the most expensive electricity?
I think it's got probably the most expensive.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at it. So what My Broadband did was they actually took a look at a number of different factors. So they looked at, you know, a person using an average of 900 kilowatt hours of prepaid. They also took a look at what is the average cost, what is the average service charges. And they basically put together quite a comprehensive list that basically suggests what a household can expect to pay on a usage of 900 kilowatts a month, basically. So I don't know how much you use, but I would probably say I use between 450 and 500, maybe 350 and 550 kilowatts a month, kilowatt hour a month. I'd say that's about my average units.
How much would that be in rand?
Well, it's hard to say. Let's go through these stats and then we'll figure it out.
Okay.
So Cape Town has, let's actually go from the most expensive to the least expensive.
Okay.
So the most expensive is to fill up a 900 kilowatt hour worth of units, to fill up with 900 kilowatt hours worth of units, will cost you 3,509 rand in Cape Town, or about 3.76 rand a kilowatt.
Hmm.
In Pretoria, it will cost you 500 rand less for the same amount of electricity at 3 rand 43. So Cape Town is the most expensive in terms of electricity.
See, I told you.
You guessed that really well. East London and Pretoria are basically the same, 3,090 rand, minus 8 rand for East London. Then you have Nelspruit at 3,000 rand, right? So you're about 90 rand difference from Pretoria to fill up on 900 units. Rustenburg is 2,947, so about 50 rand cheaper than PE, which is 2,990, which is 10 rand cheaper than Nelspruit. And then Johannesburg is actually one of the cheapest ones at 2,846 rand, which is almost 1,000 rand cheaper than Cape Town, I might add.
Sure.
We're getting really close to that number.
No wonder they're all moving down to Cape Town.
And then literally, at quite literally 100 rand shy of 1,000 rand less than Cape Town on 900 kilowatt hours, Durban at 2,671 rand to fill up 900 kilowatt hour worth of units. That's a big difference.
Actually, those who moved down to the Cape should move back.
I think,
because it's cheaper up there in Joburg.
It is, except for Durban, apparently.
For electricity. So Joburg is, and Pretoria, it's actually cheaper to use electricity over there. But they've got all those outages, man.
Well, Joburg is cheaper. That's 2,800. But Pretoria is the second most expensive in South Africa. So
Joburg. But they have no electricity for weeks there sometimes because of the cable theft. Maybe that's why, that's probably why it's cheaper.
I wonder why Cape Town is so expensive.
I don't know. It just came up. I heard, living in Cape Town is incredibly expensive. I mean, you look at a bachelor flat there, hey, like a one bedroom and little kitchen and a bathroom for like 15,000 a month. You can live quite comfortably here in our area with that rent, 15K.
You
can get like a three bedroom. Hey?
No, you think it's cheap in a city, but it's not.
Definitely not. I don't know how people survive in Cape Town, eh?
Mm-mm.
It's very expensive. It's also known for being expensive.
I know how they survive on top of a big wad of cash.
Yeah, but you still get people living there in areas and you know, they don't get much salary.
No, there's definitely a high income and a low income portion of Cape.
Yeah, but how do the lower students are low income survive? I don't know.
The entire low income Stellenbosch, I think that's students and also, you know, uneducated individuals. But then the wealthy side is like, you can't send a normal person to go live in those areas. They're just far too expensive. Far too expensive, like Sea Point, for example.
Oh, my word, Sea Point's very expensive.
It's going to be expensive, but it's also a luxury. You know, you're very like quiet. Like, you literally feel like you're in LA or something. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So speaking of how much we spend on electricity, let's talk about how much we need to spend on online stores in South Africa to get free delivery. Let's do a comparison about how much you need to spend on average at different stores to get free delivery. Because that's always a big decider for me. I think the stores that offer free delivery is never a factor for me. Take a lot. I'll just go buy. It's fine. If it's cheaper, it's cheaper. It'll get you. But something like Evitech, man, I could see something on special, like maybe I'm spending 2,000 Rand and it's 600 Rand off. I still have to pay 350 Rand for delivery. So you end up like the places that need you to have a higher card or need you to pay for delivery can also influence your ability to get a discount. Evitech, it's not like you spend 2,000 or 4,000 you get free delivery. There's no free delivery except your major centers. So let's take a look at what these costs look like. So first things first, iStore. Everyone knows iStore. iStore has zero fee for delivery and no minimum spend required.
They overcharge enough, so they can't charge for delivery.
You can get a case protector. You can go get like a little piece of plastic for your AirPod and you'll get it for free. Temu is free.
Listen, this Temu thing's taking over South Africa, eh? I was worried about Amazon. Or I think Takealot was worried about Amazon, but they should be worried about these Temu guys.
Not Takealot and Amazon are worried about Temu.
These Temu guys just, I don't know, they've been around, but they just popped up overnight in South Africa. Yep. I've never heard of them before.
They don't need any free delivery and no minimum. So you can buy a 1 Rand thing.
Have you used this Temu thing?
I haven't, but let's use it and take a look at it next week.
But people say it's really good, like the prices are awesome.
I'll tell you what, I'll buy something from Temu. And
it said shop like a millionaire, I think is their slogan. Because you can get everything for like so cheap.
So I'll buy a bunch of stuff from Temu and we'll review it on the show. And
okay.
We'll talk about how long it took to get you, how much we had to
I would
pay
love that, yeah.
And the quality of what actually got you.
You get the most random stuff on that
thing. I think
thing,
we should do it. So Temu's free. Woolworths, you know, Woolies Dash. Standard delivery is 25 Rand. Or value delivery is 25 Rand, standard delivery is 35 Rand, and express delivery is 75 Rand. You have to spend a minimum of 475 Rand in order to get your free delivery. The Bob Shop, you know what Bob Shop is? Bid or buy?
Okay, okay.
Bid or buy, bid or buy, bid or buy.
Yeah. oh, yeah.
30 Rand for 100 or higher value. So any item you buy that's 100 Rand or higher is 30 Rand. And 60 Rand for orders under 100 Rand. You have to, there's no minimum, so that's the flat rate. Dis-Chem is a minimum of 500 Rand. 35 Rand to metro areas and 155 Rand to non.
Sure.
Game is minimum 450 and delivery is 50 Rand. Mr. Price is not applicable, 50 Rand delivery, no minimum. Every day only is there's no free delivery, it's 60 Rand flat rate. Then Loot, you know Loot, 60 to 65 Rand, minimum is 450 Rand for free delivery. Take a Lot and Superbilist, 500 Rand for minimum for free delivery, and delivery is about 70 Rand on average.
Yeah, that's right.
Incredible Connection, minimum 500 Rand, delivery cost below that is 75 Rand. You ever bought anything at Hi-Fi Corp?
No,
I hear about it all the time, and it's just like something I never buy
I thought they don't exist anymore.
So Hi-Fi Corp is minimum 450 Rand. I didn't even know Hi-Fi Corp was online.
Dude, they exist. Like they were big in the 2000s, but they were known as Hi-Fi Corporation.
Yes.
That's where you went for your TV or your hi-fi, especially if you wanted a lacquer hi-fi with good speakers. You would go to Hi-Fi Corporation. Because their prices were so good, eh?
Yeah, I haven't seen them in ages.
Yeah.
Clicks.
Quite
minimum,
surprised.
600 Rand and 85 Rand, 80 Rand fee. Kudo, 80 Rand, minimum 450. MTN Store, minimum 500, 85 Rand delivery. G-Wiz, minimum 650, 99 Rand delivery. Vodapay, which I argue Vodacom and Telkom, they should be free, dude. Like, I'm paying you every month. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Include R3 per month for 3 years and you can cover the delivery. That's it,
yeah.
Please, don't even charge me for that. And Chamberlain's R1,000 and delivery cost is R200. Yeah, they're delivering that thing on a gold-plated VUCA scooter, my dude. Straight to the door.
You would think Woolies is the most expensive, right?
You would, but no, not at all. I mean, I take my hat off to iStore. Free delivery. Good on you.
No, that's pretty good. That's a nice perk to have, eh?
Straight up. Also, how do you even buy anything from an Apple store under R500?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like they're not too worried. Like 99% of everything is over $5 million.
Exactly.
Rand, you know?
Exactly.
So this is.
That was interesting.
Yeah, it really is interesting, eh? I love taking a note because that's how they compete with each other. And then you see someone like Evitech who like doesn't even give free delivery to remote regions, and their delivery costs are like R300. It hurts. It's painful. Does damage. And then you got to pay for insurance as well. What is your most go-to courier company? Which is the one that you see most frequently?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. The one that Takealot uses.
That's Takealot's delivery service.
Okay, that's the one I always see.
Superbilist also uses that.
Okay.
Mr. D also uses that.
Okay.
So there's actually a lot of... Takealot's really done a good job maximizing their delivery fleet. Because the fact that they've expanded that to do something as mundane as delivering groceries to your door. Or I think KFC delivery even uses their rails. I don't even know. It's very, very interesting to me. Here's another thing. Remember MGM Hotels?
Yes.
When they got ransomware attacked.
Oh, my word, remember? Yes.
And it hurt them, eh?
I'm sure.
They had guests couldn't get into their doors.
Oh, my word. I remember that story. Was that last year?
Yeah, imagine that. Hey, you can't use your room key anymore. Room key doesn't work.
I think they couldn't even turn on the lights.
And there's not places where they have physical keys, like fail-safe.
So the only way to get in is with a card.
With a card.
Otherwise, you've got to go around through the window.
So power failure, your door's fully locked.
That's pretty scary, actually. I would always like a backup, like an old-fashioned way of overriding the system if something goes wrong.
So if anyone doesn't know, MGM is basically a conglomerate of hotels in Vegas and other places of America that had a ransomware attack, which basically locked them out of their hotel system. So their hotel system managed guests across all their hotels. It's not like one system for one hotel. And their ransomware demand was $30 million. So the hackers wanted $30 million. And in exchange for $30 million, they'll give them access to their system again. So the company's task had become relatively daunting. And what they ended up doing was they opted for rebuilding everything from scratch.
Wow. All that data.
It will cost more than like $90 million.
I just want to know how they got in. Was it an inside job?
Social engineering. Social engineering, pretending to be the big boss man, asking the little guy for the login key, getting the login key.
So was this little guy fired?
Well, I don't know what happened to him, but they decided they didn't even care about the rest. They just rebuilt their systems. Imagine.
What would you do?
I'll rebuild the system, because if you pay them, they can get back in. Yeah. Rebuild it. You rebuild it.
Yeah,
so
you also don't know if they leave back doors open and they can get back in at any time again. You don't know if they give you access to everything that you had, you know.
Yeah.
So can you imagine all the data that's been lost?
Oh, yeah.
Buckets of data. Not to mention the money as well.
Buckets of data. $90 million probably to build that all again.
Listen, that is imagine that happening to your business. I mean, that's like a heart attack right there.
Yeah, no, you don't want... But good on them for saying we're not going to be a victim to blacklisting. And
that's actually a very good thing. Now the hacker's like, oh, damn.
Don't even try these guys again. You know?
Yeah.
Or maybe they've put a target on their back now to hack this new software. It's like, level two is unlocked.
Yes, like imagine.
Stakes are high.
Imagine you rebuild everything and it's hacked again.
Straight away. Like you spend millions.
I would end myself right there.
Because Social Security day one, they hack you again. Like, sorry, ransomware again.
No way.
So before we go to the music break, here's another interesting item. Do you know Star Trek Discovery on Netflix? It was a show.
Yeah.
Maybe you haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it. No. I don't do well with the Star Trek stuff.
Me either. But this particular show is very good. Like, this is actually set 1,000 years in the future of Star Trek.
Okay, that's cool.
So it's
cool.
Like a future on the future.
And
it had a really, really good vibe to it. And apparently their final season's coming out now. And they apparently went back and looked at Indiana Jones for a sense of adventure. So it's always cool how you can go back into the past to find insight for the future, huh? How we can source...
That's pretty interesting,
You can source solutions to modern problems through historical problem solving. It's like, it's actually pretty cool. So yeah, they're going to focus on some of the Indiana Jones elements. So if you're a Star Trek fan and you're an Indiana Jones fan, well, this final season of Star Trek Discovery might just be the perfect source for your burger. Do we go for a music break?
Yes.
Nice.
And then we're back with more tech. And we're back with Tech Plus for this Easter long weekend. If you just joined us, you're late, but you're not too late because we still have some more tech news for you before we wrap up this week's edition. Kane, what's next?
Next up, we're taking a look at a massive merger between Disney Plus and Hulu, right? So this is pretty big. Hulu is now a title in Disney Plus. So just like you can see Pixar content and Marvel content, you can now see Hulu content inside of Disney Plus. And the tech that powers Disney Plus is changing the way that Disney does everything. As of today, Hulu is part of Disney Plus. Hulu still exists. It still even has its own app, but it's also being bundled into Disney's primary streaming service alongside all the company's other content. Even the Disney Plus logo changed to integrate the iconic green Hulu. Hulu.
I noticed Disney Plus's logo changing. I thought it was just like a temporary thing.
Interesting, hey? So now you can get...
Now it makes sense.
Now there's a whole bunch of new content for you to go watch on Disney. If you've got a Disney subscription, you haven't seen any Hulu content, you're a fan of... You've heard about it, we could check it out. It's out now. It's on Disney Plus. And I love it when prices don't change and a whole new bunch of content comes on. It's better than Netflix's, like, real pay. I've paid for Netflix for like 2 years, and I think I've had 2 months where I'm like, yes, new shows. I'm so excited. Next up, we see, oh man, it gets crazy now. Now we're talking AI. So let's get through the AI updates. This is going to be big. Amazon has poured another $2.75 billion, that's with a B, into more AI startup. Anthropic. This comes as part of Amazon's deal to invest up to $4 billion in Anthropic, starting with an initial $1.25 billion last September. Anthropic is the AI company behind Claude 32's family of models, which the company claims, and this is a big claim, outperforms ChatGPT and Google's Gemini. Amazon and Anthropic deepen their shared commitment to advancing generative AI. I mean, $2.75 billion is like not a little, eh?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a little bit of money. That's like serious kind of money.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's like 80. That's a huge amount of money. The Disney Plus, Meta is adding AI to its Ray-Ban smart sunglasses next month. So remember I told you I brought in the Ray-Ban smart glasses?
Oh, yes. And you still using it?
Yes. All I can do with them, though, is I could tell it to take a video.
Yes.
And it will take a video. I can tell it to take a photo and it'll take a photo. I have a button on the glasses that I can use to take a photo. I have a button on the glasses that I can use to take a video. And then I can also voice command prompt it to play music or take photos and videos. And I can also control the music directly from my sunglasses with gestures or with my voice. I can turn volume up, skip track, and all that sort of stuff. But that was everything that I could do. The glasses also polarize, which is really, really cool. And they have speakers in to listen to your music.
Have you recorded anything else?
Yes.
Anything interesting?
Lots.
In the meantime?
Lots of like point of view kind of
any
stuff.
Any evidence?
No. Nothing like that. No, nothing spy worthy just yet. But now Meta will bring AI to its Ray-Ban smart glasses starting next month. According to a report from the New York Times, the multimodal AI features, which can perform things like translation. So looking at a piece of text that's not in the language that you speak and being able to translate it into a text that you can understand.
It's
going to
be nice for an overseas trip.
Yes, it's going to be kind of like looking at something that's in another language and hearing an audible translation of whatever you're looking at, which is super useful, hands-free, very, very nice. You'll probably be like, hey, Meta, please translate this for me and I'll look at what you're looking at and tell you exactly what's going on. Along with object and animal detection, so I might be able to say, hey, what is this? And then it'll tell me, hey, that's a bird, or that'll tell me that, hey, it's this species of bird or something like that, which I think is very, very cool. It can also do things like monument identification. So I can say, you know, what is that? And I'll tell you, hey, that's Table Mountain. And on the side there, you'll see the cable cars going up and down down from there. And then you could be like, oh, wow, you know, how much does it cost to go in one of those cable cars? And it'll perform an internet search.
Wow.
And say, well, it can cost this amount of money. You'll be like, wow, that's great. Can you book can we book that? How much would it cost? What can we do? And then it might ask you to connect your card and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's the full extent of it. I think Jed 1, we'll see some basic object identifications, a basic translation, and maybe some basic like monument or, you know, warning thing like, hey, the weather looks like it's going to rain today. You might want to, you know, try and do something about that. But I think that's very, very cool. Kind of shows you how a company can release a piece of tech that has nothing to do with AI, build in some predetermined functionality, work on your AI software, and then deploy it to a pair of glasses. And now your pair of glasses that didn't have AI now suddenly have AI. And how that works is going to be very, very interesting. Apple has also gone ahead and sued their former iOS engineer for allegedly leaking Vision Pro information.
Whoa.
So that was obviously prior to the Vision Pro going out. And apparently this individual was working on some stuff, battery optimization stuff that gave him some ability to access some of Vision Pro data. And he obviously got that data and leaked it. Now, the crazy thing there for me is, you know, if you are working on battery performance and all that kind of stuff, would you not like realize maybe I shouldn't go probe around in some of these files that aren't mine? You know, maybe I shouldn't go look for anything, and then finding it, be like, you know, maybe I shouldn't like take this information for myself and take it home. And then you get home, you're like, maybe I shouldn't sell this information online to this guy. And then you get a buyer and you're like, maybe I shouldn't give him my bank details. You know, and then by then you've like sold and you've made so many decisions to actually go through with it that I don't, you know, if you're leaking information like that, you're going to be in trouble. Next thing with AI, right? I think this is a pretty interesting one, and I'm definitely going to be tracking along with this one, is New York City will test AI gun detectors on the subway.
Yo.
Okay. So Evolve, the company supplying the scanners, is being investigated by both the FTC and the SEC. New York City will soon start testing our technology that uses AI to detect guns at subway turnstiles, Mayor Eric Adams said on Thursday. The announcement comes 1 week after an altercation in a subway station in Brooklyn in which a man was shot with his own gun after pulling it on another passenger. Adam said the city is partnering with Evolve, a Massachusetts-based weapons detection company whose detectors are used in schools and venues across the country. Evolve, however, has faced scrutiny over the accuracy of its machines, as well as two government probes and a class action lawsuit by shareholders. So maybe not partnering with the most the legitimate company, but also there are not many companies like that actively rolling around. So I hope it really works. I hope we're able to keep guns away from public areas. I think when you see something like the Moscow shooting and all that schools, sort of stuff, and the school shootings,
America, the schools, that is just horrendous.
The worst. It's the absolute worst. What's also, I guess, good and bad. Good as in justice has been served. Bad for the person that justice has been served to. Sam Bankman-Fried. Do you remember FTX?
Yes, that's maker. Right.
He was currently awaiting trial and
What's the latest there? Is he in jail?
Well, he had all of his friends kind of turn on him and sell him out, and kind of everyone turned on each other, and he now had to go to court and do his hearing and all that sort of stuff, and he's officially now, it's official, he's been sentenced to 25 years in prison for FTX fraud.
Whoa.
So FTX co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried was sentenced to a total of 300 months or 25 years in prison for 7 counts of conspiracy and fraud charges stemming from the collapse of the crypto exchange he started. The judge applied a 240-month sentence for 4 of the charges plus a 60-month sentence for 2 others and ordered that Bankman-Fried forfeit more than $11 billion, including property as recommended by prosecutors. Judge Lewis Kaplan's sentence was shorter than the 40 to 50 years requested by prosecutors, which he said was more than necessary, but longer than the 6.5 years Bankman-Fried's lawyer asked for, and far less than the maximum sentence of 110 years. So what does that mean? So prosecutors wanted a 40 to 50 year sentence. He could have got a maximum sentence of 110 years or a minimum sentence of 6.5 years and ended up with 25 years. I guess you got out of there happy, but you know you lost. You lost, at his age, quite a significant chunk of his life.
But I mean, you saw what happened with Marcus Huster here in South Africa.
No.
Who also conned people out of millions.
Oh, yeah?
Steinhoff, the Steinhoff thing. And he actually, remember, just a week or so ago, he ended his life at a beach in Cape Town, at Marnus. And because he was about to go to jail for a very long time. And I mean, he's already in his 60s.
Yeah.
So he chose to end it.
That's
so sad.
But that's after living on other people's money for so many years. You know? People will never see that money again.
No.
Somebody said to me he left, like, he had a wife and then he had a mistress or a few mistresses, and he left them some properties as well. But then, valid point is, people are going to claim money now as well, so they will probably sell those estates to make up for that, which means those ladies will be left with nothing.
Yeah, I think in Sam Bankman-Fried's scenario, you know, normally I'm not the type of guy who, you know, especially for like a non-violent crime, you're not committing a murder or like an atrocity, you shouldn't lose, you know, more than 25% of your life. However, when you are on Sam Bankman-Fried's level, I think you've damaged a lot of people's lives from a financial stability point of view. You created a vehicle which felt very safe, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
You created a vehicle where people thought their money could be kept, and you were just using it. So on that note, I think the amount of time he has to spend in prison versus the cumulative number of years he must have cost people from being able to progress naturally throughout their life, I think you would find that it's the damage he caused is greater than 25 years. I think there's more than 25 years of financial hardship for everybody, not just linearly, you know, for the next 25 years, but if this guy had 4 years of suffering, this guy had 2 years of suffering, this guy had 1 year of suffering, this guy had 5 months of suffering, if you add that all together, it's going to be like lifetimes worth of suffering.
Yeah, you're right.
And 25 years isn't so bad in that scheme of things.
If you look at it that way,
I think he definitely made, I mean, there's just something very sad about someone losing life savings. I think when you're saving 30, 40 years for something and you lose it all, even if you're young, even if you're below the age of 35, you've been saving for 10 years and you lose it all. It sucks.
You mean you get, and these guys are good, eh? Because they give you totally believe them and you totally feel that your money's safe with them. I mean, we had that case here in South Africa many times as well, locally as well, where people invested with a guy and it turned out he was a fraud, you know. And I actually know of a case where a lady, because of the losses she suffered because of this man, she actually took her own life.
Really?
Yeah, because of this guy. Because he ruined her entire retirement. She couldn't retire anymore. And she couldn't work anymore. So,
it's very sad. Because the older you are, the less time you have to actually try to recover whatever you've lost.
Exactly.
You
know? These fraudsters, they don't think about this.
And they were living
this.
Luxury, you know.
They always
buying
do,
their parents' mansions.
Absolutely, yeah. This guy had like, I don't know how many homes this Marcus guy.
I thought he would get more. I thought he was looking at life or something like that. I mean,
yeah,
millions.
I would think so.
Biggest embezzlement thing in
so
history.
So how old is he going to be when he gets out?
He's going to be he's probably like 35 now, so he's going to be 60.
Okay, it's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but
that's a big chunk of your good years gone.
A good portion of saving has happened down your journey, like the river of your life.
Yeah, like your prime is gone now.
Yes.
Oh,
so that's Sam Bankman-Fried. Amazon's palm scanning service now lets you sign up from your phone. So this is crazy. Amazon has palm scanning services now, so you can actually identify yourself by scanning your palm, because your palm is a unique identifier.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to see that technology start making its way into mainstream. You know, you start getting into things where instead of scanning your eye, scanning your finger, or scanning your face, you just scan your hand, scan your palm. And obviously, because phones and cameras are getting better, the scanning might even be able to be done directly from your camera.
Wow.
Authenticate stuff online and stuff like that. I think that's very, very cool.
That's very cool.
Very, very cool. And that brings us to the end of the show.
Kane, thank you so much. That was another show, another Tech Plus. Next week, same time, same place. And enjoy your long weekend or what's left of it, Kane.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening in. Have a fantastic Easter weekend or what's left of it. And we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Cool. Cheers, man.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.